Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank, having to order and write that big check for the delivery guy? gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.
Aslan are back on the road again, and next month we'll be playing in the Ivy Gardens in Dublin. But this gig will be a sort of a recreation of one that took place in 1999. Made in Dublin was a live album and the band's most successful. Christy Dignam is here. Christy, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Sean.
Are you well?
I'm very well, yeah.
And I'm not going to ask you any more about how you are, because you're probably sick of answering questions
well,
about
grand,
that.
I'm grand. I mean, I'm no different than I was 6 months ago. You know, there's a bit of crap going around, but yeah, I'm grand. I'm still here. That's
Made in Dublin.
Yeah.
At the time, or just coming up to making Made in Dublin, did loads of people say to you, don't do a live album, they don't sell, you're mad.
I'll tell you, actually, we went to, we had the record company at the time, and it was costing 80 grand to record it, right? So we put up 40 grand, and we're trying to get the record company to put up the other 40 grand. And he went into their files, and he said, the biggest selling live album this year is Oasis on that, 1999, I think it was. And it sold 7,000 copies. He said, it wouldn't be financially viable for us to invest 40 grand to sell 5 or 6,000 albums, which is what used to sell. And it sold 100,000 in the first 6 months or something like that. So it was huge for us.
How did you know you were right and they were wrong?
We didn't. We just took a gamble.
Well, no, at the same time, like, this is not any way to disrespect any of your albums, but your live shows people absolutely adore Aslan.
That's why we did. That's why we did the live album, because we felt that we could never capture the live thing. We could never capture the live vibe, you know, on record. Mm. So that's why we did the live album.
Yeah. What is it, do you think, about the live shows?
I don't know. I really don't know. You know, it's one of those intangible things, isn't it? I really don't know. I'm afraid to analyse it, you know, because I might mess it up.
Yeah, and when you're redoing it now, how is it going to be different from the original?
It's not going to be different at all. We've got all the same musicians, the same strings, the same percussionist. The only change would be Pat passed away, our keyboard player, so he's the only change. So it'll be exactly the same as it was on the day when we recorded.
Yeah, but though, then again, over the years, have there been different musical influences?
Have you
changed?
Well, we've got kind of, you know, my voice has got a little bit darker, a bit older, you know, as I got older. So, yeah, I'm sure there'll be those little things. But it'll sound basically the same, you know, I think.
Over the years, have you changed the music that you listen to?
Yeah. I don't listen to as much contemporary music as I used to listen to, you know. Mm-hmm. I love classical singing. I studied classical singing for 15 years or something. So, you know, no matter what humour you're in, you can listen to classical music, do you know what I mean? Mm. Where some days you can't listen to rock, and like most of the radio I couldn't listen to, you know, I couldn't, you know, the pop radio, it's just garbage, you know. So
does it influence then Aslan's music, Tony?
Oh, it was, yeah, I think so. You kind of, when we started writing songs, you're trying to be real clever, you know, and you're trying to sing the highest note and the longest note and all that carry on, you know, you're trying to put the kitchen sink into the song. And as I got older, I realised it was kind of the less you put into the song, it was just the empty spaces were in the song that made it work, you know. So for that, it has changed, you know, of course.
Yeah. Does that make it not more difficult for the listener, but that they have to maybe, you know, work a little bit more?
Yeah, well, I think so. And you see, there's a real dilemma when you're making records, because people want to hear Aslan as the sound, but you want to hear something new, you know. So you're walking that line, you want something new and fresh, but you still want to retain the Aslan kind of vibe, you know. But I find that I think I do listen to some of the older stuff now, and the energy in it, I wouldn't be able for that now, you know. It's like, it's great at the time.
But then again, presumably you're like sort of clever footballers. When they get older, they're able to do the same amount but not expend as much energy.
That's it, yeah. You just do it in a quieter way, you know.
Yeah. Are you still writing songs on an ongoing basis?
Yeah. We're doing stuff for Aslan at the moment, but I'm working on an album with Finbar Fury as well, because I've always wanted to do something in the traditionally kind of vibe. And so I'm doing that with him. So half the album is covers of old kind of famine songs and stuff, and the other half are new songs that we're writing together, you know.
Yeah. When you're writing a song with someone, do you have to, and you haven't done it before, do you have to kind of figure out what the ground rules are?
No, you kind of see the way I write is I just get them to play, you know, a certain thing, and usually whatever chord sequence they're playing will evoke a hum or a vibe, you know. Mm-hmm. And I try and then match the lyric with the vibe that the music has evoked. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if you can move that connection, you're sorted, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't know what makes a good song, Sean. We did Crazy World and two other songs. When we did the Crazy World, it was an album called Goodbye Charlie Moonhead, and there were three songs on it, three singles. So your plan is to release the fourth single, or the worst single first, so that'll go top 30 or something. Your second best second, that'll go 20, and then your best single hopefully go into the top 10. So we looked at the three songs we had and released Crazy World. Well, that's crap, you know, so... We released that as the crappy song, and that was it was massive. And then I was saying, waiting to hear, do you think that's good? Waiting to hear the next song, you know. Sold about three copies, you know. So you don't know, you never know. I don't know what I know what I think is a good song, but I don't know what's going to sell and what's going to connect. Do you know
yeah.
what I mean?
So can you look back and see that's why people connected with that song more than any others?
Not really, no. Because I still think there's other songs that we've had better songs that never did anything, you know. But I can kind of see at the time, you know, it was we'd been split up for and we just got back together again, and this was our fourth single when we got back together. And it was kind of the opener was I've fallen down so many times, so it was kind of a little bit autobiographic, you know.
Mm.
And then like of the amount of people I've had come up to me said when they had babies, you know, and they thought. Crazy world, how can I protect you in this crazy world? You know, so I can see that way where it's connected with people have connected with that kind of sentiment. But I still, you know, I wouldn't be able to do it again. You know,
yeah.
I wouldn't be able to contrive to do it again. You do it and hope that happens, you know. Mm.
Is that a thing that that sometimes people can, you've written lyrics and people will read all sorts of things into them,
listen,
especially you know, with, assuming they're autobiographical?
We had one song called Please Don't Stop on the first album, right? And it was about your journey through life, right? And it was, I am stumbling down that street, I'm out of place. The street was life. I'm an angry man of voices, without a face, help me up, I'll try not to fall down. So this bloke came up to me and said, I love that song, Please Don't Stop. Like when I'd be locked going home, my mates would be like that, they'd be helping me, carrying me home. And initially I was going to say, oh, look, that's not what it's about. And then I thought, no, you know, if that's what it's about for him, that's what it's about.
That's what
know.
It's about, yeah. Right, you can go and see Made in Dublin all over again at the Ivy Gardens on July the 7th. The Brilliant Trees are supporting, and Christy, lovely to have you in the
Cheers,
studio.
Cheers, Sean,
Christy,
thanks, a pleasure.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank, having to order and write that big cheque for the delivery guy? GasNetworks.ie/movetogas.